The Fan on Demand. The truth hurts, especially when he hits you over the head with it. This is the Jeff Blair Show. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Pretty smooth the whole time. It was just kind of fine-tuning some numbers. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next year. I just wanted to be a Leaf.
Well, that's Jake Gardner. Jake Gardner, by the way, was his high school valedictorian, in case you're wondering. You could tell how excited he was. I mean, honest to God, I've seen it. I've been around guys who say little. He's the littlest of anybody I've ever covered. He makes Phil Kessel seem like Shakespeare. Anyhow, Jake Gardner is back. 20.25 million over 5 years. By the way, going to remind you, just give you a quick rundown. We are, of course, staying on top of the latest in the John Lester news. Nick Cafardo of the Boston Globe will join us at 11 o'clock. I will also have Jerry Colangelo, managing director of the USA basketball senior men's national team, at 11:15. We'll talk about DeMar DeRozan, who is in camp with the U.S. team. And then this kind of cool at 11:40, Damian Warner, who won the gold medal in the decathlon at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So basically, he's the best athlete in the Commonwealth. The best athlete not named Usain Bolt. Damian Warner's going to join us at 11:40. That's kind of cool. And then it's Baseball Central, which is even cooler. Let's talk about Jake Gardner right now. 5 years, $20.25 million. It's a cap hit of $4.05 million. Good deal, bad deal. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I don't know. I thought about it last night. And I guess because I'm so used to hearing people crapping Jake Gardner on and off the record, I'm so used to hearing his name and trade rumors, that a five-year commitment seems a little odd to me. Bob McGill is a Leafs analyst with Leafs TV. Certainly knows a hell of a lot more about this than I do. Bob McGill joins us on this fine summer morning. Mr. McGill, how's the off-season been treating you?
Pretty good, Jeff. Hanging out, looking over at the lake right now
nice.
As we speak. But the summer's been pretty fair so far.
What do you make of this deal? Are you surprised at it?
Not really, no. When I look at what transpired over the course of the season with Jay Gardner last year, you know, I know that in and out of Chateau Bow Wow of Randy Carlyle's on a few different occasions over the last couple of years. I think really that, you know, the commitment, they see the upside, that I think that this young man has only sort of reached, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg thus far in his career. And I think that they're locking him up for 5 years. And I really believe that we're going to see him blossom into the kind of player that everybody envisioned when they saw him here in his first year when he made the all-rookie team.
We don't know let's face it, Bob, we don't know how long Randy Carlyle's still going to be coach of this team. I mean, he is coming back this year. I know you spend a lot of time around the defensemen. I know you spend a lot of time around the Marlies. You know these guys. Was the relationship between Jake and Randy, you know, anything out of the ordinary? Was it something that we've probably seen in hockey before, but in this day and age of social media and, you know, the 24-hour news channels, it got exacerbated? Because I've got to think back in back in the 90s and 80s, the coaches and defensemen, I mean, there always had to be some sort of tension between offensively gifted defensemen and coaches, wasn't there?
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that, Jeff, for myself, when I look at it, I really believe that when Randy Carlyle watches Jake Gardner, he's having flashbacks of himself. You know, there's a reason Carlyle only played 2 years for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, he was an offensive guy, didn't pay attention to details, maybe the would have liked. But look, when he ended up going to Pittsburgh, a couple years later, he wins the Norris Trophy. He goes on and, you know, to a tremendous career, played over 1,000 games, you know, over 600 and plus points in the league. And I really believe that Randy Carlyle thinks that Jake Gardner can be that type of player. And I think that he's on him you know, because once you become the coach, things certainly translate differently. And, you know, he, I'm sure, can relate to the fact that I'm sure a lot of coaches rode him throughout his career about paying attention to the details. And I think that really it's something where I think it's going to make Jake Gardner a better defenseman because, you know, obviously you can't just play one way. And I think that when you look at the last, you know, 15 games of the season last year when the Leafs went in that tailspin, Jake Gardner was one of the bright lights. And I really think that his confidence coming into this season with his offensive game and what he can do, I think are going to take off. And I think that, you know, maybe you remember what happened at the end of the season when Randy Carlyle spoke where he didn't have some great words, you know, about Jake Gardner. But at the end of the day, think that he's going to be a guy that you'll wipe the slate clean come the start of training camp this year, because I think Jake Gardner is going to be an integral part of the blue line on this hockey club.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the dynamic that's changed here is if Jake Gardner really wanted to be an ass, he could say, hey, Randy, I'm here for 5 years. How long are you here? If he really wanted to, which I don't think he would. But, you know, there is that element to this, right?
Well, no question. I mean, the athletes today are certainly a lot different. And you look at the contracts of guys, you know, just on the Maple Leafs alone, you know, starting this season, Phil Kessel, 8-year contract, Dion Phaneuf, 7-year contract. Now Jake Gardner, a 5-year contract. So, you know, those are the sort of big pieces of the puzzle for this hockey club. And I guess if, you know, you really didn't like the coach, you know, I can never see a player doing that, but maybe it's one of those things where, you know, I guess in your mind, they know that they're going to be around for a while. And maybe not so much the coach, but, you know, I think that everybody has to get along and you have to have that respect. If your team is going to do well, you've got to, you know, respect what's happening with your coach and what he's trying to accomplish with you as a group. And hopefully that's going to be the case this year. I mean, you look at what's happened with the team, obviously, you know, a couple of new assistant coaches are coming into the fold this year. And they're looking to, you know, obviously have a great training camp and kick off the season on a positive note.
Bob McGill joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. We're taking your calls on the Jake Gardner deal. Are Jake Gardner and Morgan Rielly essentially, is that going to be the pairing, you think, moving forward? Do you think there's any chance at all that they'll get broken up in camp?
Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, you put Pollock in the mix there, who's a right shot, and same with Rovida too, you know, so maybe you don't have to put one of those kids on their wrong side. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the mix goes with these two, but, you know, I don't think there's any question about if you look 2 and 3 years down the road, I would expect that these two guys are going to be front and center of being the prominent, you know, leaders on this club from the back end. And, you know, will Morgan Rielly continue his uphill trend, you know, after a terrific rookie season? You know, is he going to have that sophomore jinx? I don't think. I think that he's the type of kid from, you know, spending a lot of time around the team like I do. He's a terrific young man, and I really believe that he's going to come into camp ready to go this year. But Jake Gardner, for me, I mean, I look at, you know, during the lockout, you know, the first, you know, before he got hurt in December with the concussion, Jake Gardner, for me, he was probably the most dominant player I saw at the American League level. And I think we started to see that near the end of the season last year where he was taking over the game offensively and sort of dictating the pace of the game. And that's something that if he can continue to do that, these two young guys on the back end are going to be a lot of fun to watch for a lot of years.
And that's the thing, the aspect of Jake's game that I really like. And I see totally the Randy Carlyle comparison. I've often kind of wondered if this isn't the thing where you're almost toughest on the one you love, you know, or maybe you're toughest on the one that reminds you most of yourself. But he used the phrase dictate the pace of the game. And there were large chunks of games last year when the Leafs were still in it, where Jake Gardner, he was the guy calling the ball. I mean, he was the guy that literally was controlling the game.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. And I think that's, you know, that's when he's at his best. And, you know, the one thing about, you know, players of that ability, you know, confidence is a huge part of their game. And if they don't have the confidence that they can grab the puck and wheel out of the zone and dictate the pace, like I spoke of, then, you know, they look out of place and they make mistakes and whatnot. And I think that Jake Gardner showed that at the end of the year last year, that he has his confidence back in his game. And I think the biggest part of that, though, was coaching staff kind of took the handcuffs on off of him and said, hey, we need you to jump in the play and make things happen. Help us get more involved offensively with the game. And when he did that, his confidence grew and his game went along with it. And let's hope that that continues here right from the get-go at when training camp starts here in another month or so.
Bob, I appreciate you doing this. Go back and enjoy the lake.
All right, Jeff. Anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Bob McGill of Leafs TV. Big Daddy, as he's affectionately referred to, and appreciate him joining us in the off season. Sitting up at the lake, having a great time. So Jake Gardner signs a five-year, $20.25 million extension with the Leafs. I don't know how I feel about it. I really, thinking back to Randy Carlyle's exit interview where he talked about, if you remember him talking about, we even had one player in the team who thought he should be compared to some of the better defensemen in the NHL, or however he worded it. Everybody took that to be Jake Gardner, essentially, and Randy Carlyle's throwing it out there like, can you guys believe the crap I had to put up with? I even had this one guy, for example, yada, 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 yada. Anyhow, that guy's back. And that guy's here longer than Randy Carlyle, probably. And he's got the contract to show it. And if he wanted to be a real ass, he could walk up to Randy Carlyle and say, you really want me to do that? How long are you going to be here? Another month? 2 months? Four? I'm here 5 years. No, I don't expect him to do that. But you get my drift. A lot of guys coming back in long-term contracts. A lot of guys starting long-term contracts. A lot of guys starting contract extensions. And there's Coach Carlyle. On the plank, except now he's got Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan poking at him, taking a little step along the plank. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Of course, I could be overstating it a little bit. What do you make of Jake Gardner's contract? Do you like it? You surprised? I honestly don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. Maybe it's because it's baseball season, but I don't know how I feel about it. Tim Summers on Twitter. And again, if you want to join the conversation, use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair, which I kind of like. It's kind of growing on me. Tim Summers says, I like the deal, but it is a very tradable contract. Other teams always think they can fix a player. That's true. One thing I can tell you, there is not a coach or a general manager in any sport who doesn't think he can reinvent the wheel. There isn't a coach or general manager who looks at another team, says, man, if I could get that guy in here, I could turn him into an all-star. That's just the way sports people are. Naveed and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am very well.
Very well. I love the deal. I love the five-year deal. I think we need it on the offensive defenseman. But don't you agree that we need another veteran defenseman to play with enough? And I think Morgan Rielly is tradable at his contract that we have right now.
Yeah, boy. I mean, I wouldn't want to deal. Frankly, it's not that I wanted to deal Jake Gardner. I don't know if I was willing to commit 5 years to him. Yeah, I mean, they could use another veteran defenseman. They could use another frontline forward. I'm sorry. Another center, but I don't think they've got room under the salary cap to do that. Absent that, I think your approach should be, all right, who do we really want back? And I'll tell you what this screams to me. If I'm Nazem Kadri, I'm almost willing to bet right now that I won't be with the Leafs by the end of the season. Unless we hear that they're negotiating with Nazem Kadri, I think that tells you something, that the Leafs are looking internally, that Brendan Shanahan is essentially bringing everybody back, wants to get a read in them. I think that says a lot about Nazem Kadri. Would I like the Leafs to get another defenseman to play with FNUF? Absolutely. But I need Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner. Like I said, I have no problem re-signing Jake Gardner. 5 years seems a little much, but you know what? From Jake Gardner's point of view, it's great. The guy's going to be a free agent, an unrestricted free agent at what, 28, 29? Imagine how much money he's going to make if he progresses, if he turns into a premier offensive defenseman. And you know, it's not a bad deal for the Leafs in terms of the average annual hit. I don't know about 5 years, though. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. Chris in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What do you think of 5 years and 20-odd million for Jake Gardner?
I'm okay with the deal. I mean, the problem that we've had years past with the Leafs is, you know, they keep on giving away these young guys. They don't lock them long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they end up going to other teams and they turn into those premier players. So for me, I look at Gardner and I look at Riley and I can, you know, just hope that they can turn into something like, you know, the Seabrook, the Keats, the guys that work together that are phenomenal, you know. So it's I just hope these two young kids can just like flourish into the players that they're supposed to be. And if they do, then we got a really bright future ahead of us.
Do you think this is a gamble?
It's somewhat of a gamble. Again, you know, with young kids, you don't know how it's going to be. But I mean, that's the same thing could be said when we traded for Kessel. It was a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thought it was a great deal. Kessel was a proven commodity, and he's just flourished into exactly what we expected him to be. Now, for Gardner, it's the same thing. He's been getting progressively better and better. His defensive game is getting better, and that's what he needs to work on. His offensive game speaks for itself. He does exactly what you say, control the game. And we need that premier player to turn into that guy that's going to, you know, be our number one, with maybe him and Riley our number 1-2 punch in a few years. And that's going to be an awesome 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Chris. The thing that concerns me about, and this is probably unfair because neither of them are by any stretch of the imagination a finished commodity. I don't know if I can see them being a number one pair down the road, only because I think I need one of the guys in my number one pair to be really strong defensively and really strong physically. And I know, again, I know that that's, you know, we're talking about two kids who are really young. And frankly, Morgan Riley, by the time Morgan Riley finishes filling out, you know, and becomes a mature NHL player, I'm not going to say he's going to be a beast physically. But, you know, you talk to anybody around the Leafs, they'll tell you his diagnostic tests are just off the chart physically. And if you look at his body, like, there's room for muscle to be put on there. He's not going to become muscle bound. So it's entirely possible that maybe Morgan Riley develops into one of those very almost subtly strong defensive guys, because I think we associate really good defensemen as being guys who are 6'5 and can hit the hell out of you or wrap you up. And a lot of times it's more about body positioning and using your body properly. And Morgan Riley's smart enough and is enough of an athlete that he could turn into that. But I'm just saying, as I sit here right now, something says to me that 2 years down the road, you're going to want to have those two split up. Marco in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, man.
Listen, not to put rain on the parade a little bit.
Go ahead, rain a bit.
All of my comments I'll qualify with, at the very least, there's not a no-trade clause or a limited or open to be dealt whenever, whoever. And that's a big, big, big thing to have in your pocket. But, you know, I listen to Leaf fans, and I think this goes back to the Thomas Cabrelle syndrome, where if you could skate a little bit on defense, you are gold. You're absolutely automatic. You're the best defenseman. They compare you to the greats. They don't compare you to Andre Zuzan or now Michael Delzato. They compare you to the automatic greats. Jake Gardner is a gas can in his own end. He wasn't getting better last season defensively. He was atrocious. He makes you want to throw your beer at the television with the stupidity of the plays he makes at times. The comparison of Morgan Riley is completely unfair, because Morgan Riley in a rookie year went way beyond Jake Gardner.
So
in his own end, his hockey sense is off the charts compared to Jake Gardner. The worrisome part for Jake Gardner for me on the ice is I don't know between the ears if he's going to get it. I know his legs can get it. I know he can skate like the wind. But I watch him do a dipsy doodle and a circle and pass the puck to an opposing player and send him on a breakaway. And I see this all the time. Now, I know he's young and all this. You know, people got on Randy Carlyle because Randy was hard on him. Well, I'd have been even harder on him if that was me. But, I mean, I just think at $4 million, it's probably – I think he was a bridge contract at $3 million myself. And then you get a chance to see what he does turn into rather than you've already put your eggs in and said, yep, I'm getting Paul Coffey and I'm not getting Andre Zuzan. Michael Delzato was a superstar that could skate, could pass. 2 years ago in the New York Rangers, he was as big as you can ask, and now he can't get a job in the NHL.
So I'll put
it's tough.
I'll put you down as undecided.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Thanks for the call, Mark. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Marco will not be rushing out to buy a Jake Gardner jersey. John in Pottageville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey there.
Marco sort of stole my points there. I'm on the more positive side, though. I don't think it's a bad deal, and plus he doesn't have a no-trade contract. But, yeah, the big thing is he's got to grow between the years. And I think probably with they've got an older defenseman there. Maybe they pair him with him and maybe help him out along. He won't make the defensive errors he does in his own zone. The other thing is, hey, you can go up the ice with the puck, but then you got to know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't mind the deal, though.
Well, yeah, I think like a lot of people, I look at the terms more than anything else. But
he's a young guy, though.
Yeah, that's – I mean, if I'm him, he's got to be thrilled. I mean, he's going to hit, as I said, he'll be a UFA at 28 or 29. That's pretty good business if you can do that. That's pretty good business if you can do that. I really wonder, though, about just about him and Carlisle. Like, the more I think about this, James Reimer and Jake Gardner coming back. Like, really, if you're Randy Carlisle, aren't you almost at the point where you go, what the hell? Why am I even doing this? Seriously. Like, could they do anything more to tell you they don't want you here? Get rid of your assistants. Sign a guy that, you know, I think Bob McGill's right. I think there is an element of Randy Carlyle looking at Jake Gardner and seeing an image of himself. But I also wonder if maybe Randy Carlyle doesn't look at him and go, oh, for God's sake, man, I could do that. Why the hell can you not do it? Hey, Randy Carlyle. James Reimer's coming back. He's got 2 years. Jake Gardner, he's got five. Randy Carlyle, you got kind of a half-assed thumbs up from the guys above you. I wonder what the first story is going to be about at training camp. Any guess? Any guess what the headline in the Sun is the first day of training camp? Vic in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, sir. Big fan of the show. Hey,
thank you.
Smack dab in the middle of summer, we're talking hockey. Is that sum up Toronto for you?
That pretty much, yes, that sums up a lot of things for you.
Hey, listen, I'm a really happy fan right now.
Okay.
Not only the addition of Gardner, I like everything that the Leafs have done so far. We've added grit, we've added speed, we've added experience with Robida, Polak. My biggest thought, the best signing of the year has got to be Komarov coming back. I know we own the rights to him, but look, guy runs around the ice, hits everything.
I'm totally with you. I know it's hardly a make or break deal, but I could certainly, he's the perfect guy for the way the NHL is officiated now. He's the perfect tough, gritty guy to have.
Fair enough. Now back to Gardner.
Yep. It's 5 years for 20.25.
Okay. Now, I seem to recall Game 7 in Boston. I'm pretty sure Gardner was the man that was on the ice when the puck went in. I think it went right between his legs. when, was it Bergeron put it in?
Could be.
Yeah, anyway, how far has that guy come since that game?
Well, I guess the question is how far has he come in the minds of management? Pretty far. How far has he come in the minds of the head coach or in the mind of the head coach? I don't know. Be nice. Maybe somebody, someplace can get Randy Carlisle to comment. Wyatt in Bracebridge here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good day.
Good day. How come you're not outside? How come you're not at the cottage? Or are you at the cottage?
I live up here, but same difference.
Lucky man. Lucky man.
I get to build people's cottages up here.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
I think it's great. You know, the whole thing about it is whether we talk about Kadri, Gardner, Riley, the one thing I have goes back to Carlisle. I feel the same about him as I did Wilson. A good coach, but not a developmental coach. He doesn't have that attitude to look at these players as individuals and how to connect with them on the level that they need to be connected with. They made the same fundamental errors over and over, whether we want to talk about Riley drilling pucks into the shin pads and shooting at the net rather than dumping pucks into the corner. You know, they kept making those same routine errors over and over, and Randy couldn't get it through to them. I don't think any of these kids have come this far with no potential, no skill or anything like that. That's ridiculous. It's how to harvest that potential out of them. And I don't think Randy is doing it. I think what they need to do is maybe look at how Randy can change things himself.
Well, Wyatt, he certainly got some motivation to change things himself. Right now, there's no doubt about that. As I said, a lot of his he's pretty much had it. They've not only ripped away his security blanket, they've basically lit it on fire right in front of him. I mean, this whole off season, or most of it, seems to be sending messages that ought to be making Randy Carlisle very uncomfortable. Now, the one thing we know about people like Randy Carlisle who've been around the game for a while is they're very adaptable. And they're really, there's probably very little they haven't seen or experienced before. This is a real challenge for Randy Carlisle. And it's going to be fascinating to see how he reacts to things at the start of training camp. You know, I don't pretend to know enough of the inner workings of this organization to know who are Randy Carlisle's allies. Because that's what it's all about when you're in a professional sports organization. You build relationships, you build allegiances. You've got people who are against you. You've got people who are for you. That's just the way it is. And you have to build those and maintain those to be successful. And we don't know how many of those allegiances have been torn asunder this offseason. We'll find out very soon, though. And as I said, you know what the story is going to be the first day of camp. People are going to go to Jake Gardner. They're going to go to James Reimer. They're going to go to Randy Carlisle. Can this all work? Can you all get along? If nothing else, it's going to make training camp much, much more interesting than you would expect from a team that really has made little in the way of off-season moves. There will be culture change with the Toronto Maple Leafs. The question is, will there be too much culture change for Randy Carlisle? Jeff Idelson is a president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. You heard us talk earlier this week, about the change in voting rules, the Hall of Fame. It's going to hurt some candidates like Tim Raines. Jeff Idelson will join us to talk about that. And you know what? We'll continue to take a couple of your calls on the Leafs. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The Jake Gardner deal. Thumbs up, thumbs down. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We will have a crap load of baseball talk ahead. Baseball Central, of course. Be around at 12 o'clock with Kevin Barker and yours truly, Joe Siddle. Blue Jays radio analyst to join us from Boston. The Jays looking to wrap up three-game series with the Bo Sox tonight, going for the sweep. And Nick Cafardo, the national baseball writer for the Boston Globe, will be along at 11 bells. The John Lester rumors keep ramping up. No change since you went to bed and got up. Still a lot of talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates being involved. And we'll see from Nick Cafardo where the Blue Jays stand in all this. And we will, of course, keep you informed as to all the action. The trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline, is 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And we will be all over it on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll have it before anybody else. And we'll have it correctly before anybody else. Let's continue our discussion about Jake Gardner ahead of Jeff Idelson, the president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, joining us, Johnna Muskoka. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did Wyatt build your cottage?
No, he did not.
Okay,
no,
just
no,
wondering.
No. Yeah, small world. I am a two-thumbs-up fan of Jake Gardner, really happy with the signing, really happy with the contract price. I think it's a good deal for both sides. But wanted to make note of a couple of your earlier comments. Twice you've mentioned that perhaps Randy Carlyle sees a lot of himself or his younger days when mm-hmm. he looks at Gardner. I don't know that I agree with that. I think Randy Carlyle's world is very black and white. Either he likes you or he doesn't. And Jake Gardner has always been on his doesn't. He was one of the guys, he and Joffrey Lupo were traded by Anaheim when Carlyle was there to the Leafs for Beauchemin. Go back to the Boston, the dreaded Boston series, but game one, Gardner was a healthy scratch. Carlyle sat him for game one, and then when the Leafs had no offense in game one, Carlyle chose to put him in, and Gardner was then the offensive star of that series. So I watched all of the start of last season and watched Carlyle try and beat the offense out of Gardner and have him turn him into something that he's not. He's never going to be a stay-at-home defenseman. So I'm a Gardner fan. There's definitely an oil and water bad mix between Carlyle and Gardner, and I'm not sure that that's ever going to go away. But bottom line is I'm very happy with the signing.
I appreciate the call. I love that. Carlyle tried to beat the offense out of Jake Gardner. That's tremendous. Let's go to one more caller. We don't have any. Oh, okay. We are going to get Jeff Adelson. Fair enough. Jeff Adelson is the president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. If you remember over the weekend, and early this week, we were talking about the Hall of Fame's decision to change its selection process, balloting process, actually, instituting a new system that will see players remaining on the ballot for a maximum of 10 years instead of 15. When their eligibility begins 5 years after retirement, it will take effect in time for the 2015 season. There were a few players who were being grandfathered into this. One of them, unfortunately, is not Tim Raines. And essentially what this means is guys like Tim Raines, who may have had, for example, 8 years left to get in the Hall of Fame, will now have 3 years left to get in the Hall of Fame. It may not make a difference for some players, but frankly, given how stacked the Hall of Fame ballots are, it stands to reason that it limits the chances of people like Tim Raines, people whose career, how should we say this? Tim Raines' career looks better the more you examine it. And I think that explains why his vote total has increased. It's increased in small measures, it's also increased in pretty large measures at the same time. The idea behind this, most of us think, is to help remove or help limit the damage that the steroid era players can do to the Hall of Fame ballot, to help limit the discussion about players like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, to help remove the discussion of their legacy from the process as soon as possible. It's never going to be able to remove it entirely. But if you're only on the ballot for 10 years instead of 15, it stands to reason that there's at least 5 years where some of these players won't be part of the discussion. Jeff Idelson is the president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. Jeff Idelson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Idelson.
Dr. Blair, a pleasure.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
You guys don't change these things very often. Why now?
What things?
The eligibility, you know, the rules as far as players remaining in the ballot for a maximum of 10 years instead of 15. You don't usually fiddle with those things.
No, Jeff, I mean, the rules have been, we haven't had a rule change since 1991 of any substance. And so to have a rule change all of a sudden, it takes people by surprise. But, you know, our board of directors meets twice a year, and annually we go over all sorts of policies and procedures, rules, the different various elections that are part of the Hall of Fame's makeup. And over the course of time, there's been discussion, and the thought came to fruition this weekend with the announcing going from 15 to 10. And we feel good about it. We've done our homework on it. It's about relevance and the fact that over the last, 35 years, three players have gotten in after the 10th ballot,
mm-hmm.
and 99% of them haven't. So the relevance part is you get these folks who may be of consideration for the future to an era committee a little faster, and it also doesn't leave them twisting in the wind.
You know, you guys probably, I shouldn't say just you guys, but I mean, the board probably realized that making any change or any tweak at this time was automatically going to mean that people were going to say, aha, they're reacting to the steroid issue. I mean, that's just that's the way it is. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Somebody's going to be able to massage the argument to put it in that direction. How do you respond to that? Because it does seem, I mean, it seems to me you're telling people to make your mind up about players faster, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that seems to me what you're saying to people.
We are saying that based on past results, not looking forward, but based on past results.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I can tell you unequivocally, that this was not done because it's the steroid era. It's done because it's a relevance issue. I mean, if you think about it, Jeff, if you waited till the steroid era was over with balloting, we wouldn't be making this change for like 15 years.
That's true.
You know, then it becomes even more irrelevant. So it's honestly circumstantial. And, you know, if you had a one-year problem with somebody, you could say it's reactionary. But to say it's reactionary to the steroid era just doesn't make any – I mean, people can spin it how they want, but it doesn't make any sense.
Jeff Idelson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. When you talk about the relevancy. Look, most of us in baseball, everybody in baseball loves the Hall of Fame. Everybody loves going there. Everybody loves what it represents. Is there a concern on the part of the board, though, that, you know, maybe you need to do, something has to be done to, I don't know, I don't want to say pick up attendance, but maybe just kind of modernize it a little bit? Like, I don't know if changing this process necessarily modernizes it, but is there a sense, I think, Jeff, we're so used to the Hall of Fame. It just, I mean, I say Baseball Hall of Fame to people, and it automatically represents something to them. And I think maybe people are concerned that by doing this, the Hall of Fame is signaling that it's worried about losing relevancy.
Well, I think it's fair to say that, but I think, you know, the same as any industry never wants to lose relevancy. I mean, you look at newspapers and how they've evolved to stay relevant.
Or devolved.
I'm a big newspaper reader, but my point is I can read them all online now. That's an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be foolhardy not to continue to stay relevant. Our rules for election are are constantly evolving. The writers' rules haven't changed much because they've remained, you know, fairly relevant. If you look at our expansion, our era committee voting, those committees have changed dramatically over time to a point now where we feel they're very relevant. So, yeah, to say we want to stay relevant is absolutely true.
It appears as well that one of the moves the results of this move, and I'm actually kind of favoring this in a strange sort of way, is it removes a bit of the difference between being voted into the Hall of Fame and being named by the committee. You know what I mean? I think in the past some people have thought, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't voted in. He was named by the committee. Well, maybe now the argument will be less about how you got into the Hall of Fame than the fact that you're there.
I think the argument about how they got in the Hall of Fame is really played out mostly in the media because that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
When you come to Cooperstown and you walk through the Black Gallery, there's nothing that discerns a first ballot electee versus a 10th ballot electee versus someone elected by one of the various veterans committees. So, I think that's good fodder, but it's not really very prevalent in Cooperstown.
Jeff, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. Take care.
Take care. That is Jeff Idelson. He's president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. And Jeff makes a great point. When you go through the plaque hall, it's plaques. There's no indication that this is how this guy got in or this committee. And again, if you haven't been there, you ought to go. It's very cool. But it is an interesting voting change, and whether it's by design or accident, someone tried to explain to me, it's going to speed up the process of putting the steroid era into context, which is probably not a bad thing. I think there are still some changes. You know, we had Jay Jaffe of SI.com on, and he supports the idea of increasing the size of the ballot from 10 to maybe 15. Because his argument is, we're getting to the point now where the ballots are so full and there are so many factors going into each Hall of Fame vote that you may find yourself in a position where you have a certain era of players underrepresented. And if you're worried about attendance, and with all due respect to the Hall of Fame, if you don't have many guys in there from the Barry Bonds era, and people may it may have an impact on people's desire to go there. So it's a weighty issue, and I do believe this. I do believe it's an indication that the Hall of Fame is ultimately, and that may not be this year or next year or the year after, but ultimately I think the Hall of Fame is going to undergo a seismic change in how this process is done. And I think eventually we're getting towards the idea of having some sort of grand committee of living Hall of Famers, former players, baseball executives, people with a vested interest, and maybe a scaled-down representation from the Baseball Writers Association of America. Scaled down representation. We'll have it'll almost be like a big committee deciding who goes in and who doesn't go in. If that's the case, I hope there is some transparency. I hope we get to see who is voting for whom. But that's where I think it's going. And I'm not entirely, as a Hall of Fame voter, I mean, I'm not entirely certain that's a bad thing, because more and more I'm seeing that there are a lot of issues with the Hall of Fame, and there are a lot of issues with the players who aren't getting into the Hall of Fame. John Lester is not expected to start for the Red Sox today. He is, however, still a member of the Red Sox, at least the last time we looked, he was. Nick Cafardo is the national baseball writer of the Boston Globe. He'll join us at 11 o'clock. Let's see if John Lester's still with the Red Sox in 7 minutes. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.